Listen, beloved brothers and sisters, says the Apostle James in his letter in the New Testament that we heard. Listen, beloved brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in this world to receive, to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom? I read once, it was a reflection of someone who had visited their old professor at their alma mater, their college or university, where they went to see one of their old teachers there. And for some of the details in the story, you kind of figure it must have been a Catholic university or college or something. Anyway, as they were having their conversation, and the professor welcomed the former student, and in the midst of their conversation, a student came up and interrupted them, who apparently was distressed, distraught, just had evidently some serious issues going on, and broke into the conversation. And the professor took him off by himself so that the person who was visiting didn't hear, and talked to him for a while. And then when he came back, the person said, asked who that student was. And the professor said, that was just our Lord in one of his more unrecognizable forms. You know, sometimes Jesus comes among us in unrecognizable forms. Like an old English poem says, oft, 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 says the poem, oft goes Christ in the stranger's guise. And that's in accord, you know, with the gospel, you know, the great judgment scene in Matthew when Jesus tells the people assembled there to be judged at the end of time, when you took care of the sick and the hungry and the thirsty and welcomed the stranger and visited even prisoners, that you were doing it for him, Jesus is, you might say, transubstantiated into people who are poor and sick and sad, lonely and in trouble. And sometimes it's difficult to recognize Jesus in those forms. You know, one of our articles of faith, we believe, and we profess it every time we say in the creed, is that Jesus came to us in the mystery of what we call the incarnation. You know, that God came and took on the form of a human being, which is really quite an incredible thing. I mean, you believe that? I don't think anybody else in the world believes it, but Christians, that God became a human being, who was every bit a human being as he was God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, and became human. And that means, you know, he took on all the bad things that happened to us human beings. I mean, he could suffer. He could feel sadness. He knew what it was to go without, not have enough to eat, not have any place to lay his head, he said. So he knew all about sickness and poverty and sadness and homelessness and all of that. That God took all that on when, says the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and the child that was born would be holy, the Son of God, but yet human as any of the rest of us. Now Jesus was God, from God, light and light, such as that. But and so you might say he was the kingdom of God in person. Wherever Jesus was, there was the kingdom of God. And of course, life in the kingdom of God is much different from life in the kingdoms of this world. Radically different. It's the polar opposite. Where the higher brought low and the low raised up, and the hungry are fed and the rich are sent empty away. Jesus never tires of telling us, you know, that the line's going to be reversed. That those who are last will be first and the first will be last in the kingdom of God. It's not usually that way here. So, whenever Jesus meets people, life for them becomes like life as God intended it to be lived, as life is, or will be, I suppose, as the old song says, when we all get to heaven. So, when Jesus encounters people who are sick, there are no sick people in heaven. They're healed. For Jesus said, you know, and when Jesus encounters poor people, he says, I came to proclaim good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind. To heal the brokenhearted. I don't suppose there are any brokenhearted people in heaven. So Jesus makes life like it's going to be in the kingdom of God, where everything is healed and everything is whole. That's why he stuck his finger in the man's ears and spit on his tongue and touched the man's tongue so he could hear and so he could speak. He became the person God created him to be, more nearly fully alive. And Jesus, you know, took all those disabilities on himself, becoming human. And sometimes he shows up in the disguise of people like that. And you know, our desire in our best moments would be to be able to recognize Jesus wherever we encounter him. Now, if you knew Jesus was coming, you'd be on your best behavior, wouldn't you? I would too. I'd be glad to see him. And I'd probably welcome him and give him, as we say, glory and honor. We'd worship him. Now to know that he's present in people who are sick and sad and poor and lonely and in trouble, you know, if you begin to recognize that, that's going to change my attitudes toward those people rather drastically, wouldn't you think? And that's what we're all here for. We're all here to undergo an attitude adjustment. That's what you always come to church for. Have your attitudes toward other people changed, just like your attitude toward Christ. So we want to be able to recognize Jesus in his more unrecognizable forms. And of course, you know, we can see Jesus in you too. You know, you, for Christ is maybe recognizable or not, maybe it's not so recognizable in you and me. But you know, when you're baptized, you know, the priest or the deacon said, you have put on Christ. You are clothed in Christ as they dressed you in your white garment. That it means, you know, you go around kind of dressed up in Jesus so that wherever you go, people ought to be able to recognize that that Jesus is there with you. And of course that means helping others to live the life that God intended them to live. Proclaiming good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, healing the brokenhearted, and so forth. That you are witnesses of what life is like in the kingdom of Christ. And so you have to recognize, because you're clothed in Christ, recognize that Christ is present in people we wouldn't ordinarily recognize. Maybe like the folks holding, you know, the homeless signs down at the intersection or something. What if they were coming in here to Mass? Would you move over and let them have the seat next to you? The story's told, I heard once, of that occurred at the First Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., some of you that have some of that background like I do might recognize some elements of this story. You know, big churches, you know, the first church of whatever in the big city usually becomes, you know, what you might call the society church. And at that church one Sunday, and it'd probably be 100 years ago or more now, you know how they do, you know, at the end of the service, after the sermon, people are invited to join the church, and they come down and present themselves for membership in the church, and the whole congregation there votes on whether to receive them as members. What if you had to do that? Would you get some votes? It's usually unanimous, but one Sunday, this was many, many years ago, in that church in Washington, D.C., the Chief Justice of the United States, who at the time was Charles Evans Hughes, came down and presented himself for membership in the church. And at the same time, a poor Chinese laundryman, you know, back in those days, if you wanted clothes laundered real cheap, you took them to the Chinese laundry. And this poor Chinese laundryman came down, a foreigner, an immigrant, a poor man, not our kind of people, presented himself for membership in the church. And the minister, as he was leading that vote as to whether they would be received as members, recognized, as he said, that the ground at the foot of the cross is exceedingly level.